The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Are you ready to relive the soundtrack of a generation? Dive deep into the Ultimate Countdown.
Hey, it's JD here. Welcome to the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown. Every week, I'll sit with a super fan to break down a top 40 track, share their personal history, and discuss experiences they've had with the band.
And to me, it's one of the greatest songs they've ever done.
That kind of hit me because that's pretty much how life is.
A beautifully crafted, multi-part story.
Every week, a new song, a new story, and you get to see where your favorite track lands.
So if you're a hip fan or hip curious, listen to the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown every Tuesday at noon and 7 p.m. Eastern, and Fridays at 2 and 9 p.m. Eastern on the Tragically Hip Radio, Sirius XM.
It's JD here, and that was abrupt. seems the gentle fade gave way to a cliff dive, so there's that. It's a pleasure to be here with you, although you can't see me because I'm doing my John Cena impression today. So, you know, and of course, John Cena would be nothing without a delightful sidekick, and mine happens to be Sarah J, and much more than a sidekick, I should say, but
partner in crime. I'll take that title.
Yeah, absolutely. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm bummed that I can't see you, but happy Father's Day.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's been a good day. Yeah. Just been a, I got a couple nice cards, and that means a lot.
And, nice.
Yeah, just a special day.
Awesome. Very awesome. And I get to hang out with you, which is my favorite thing to do on Sunday evenings.
Yes. Me too. I'm trying to open my document, and it keeps crashing. There. Now it's open. Oh, actually, I have a little fun trick for you here.
Okay.
Where is it? Oh, why? Oh, because it's an overlay. Oh, rats. Oh, wow. Oh, no, I can do that. There we go. Yes.
I love this.
Yeah, this is our weekly goss. This is what we're going to talk about today. And
hopefully this will keep us on task.
Yeah, I think so, right?
Yes. We'll try our best. We will try our best.
So the first thing I want to start with is the ultimate superfan. The The full title is The Tragically Hip Ultimate Superfan Search. We are looking for the ultimate tragically hip superfan. Not just somebody who says they're the biggest fan of all time. I'm talking somebody who has inanimate objects named after members of the Tragically Hip or song titles that, you know, your electronics are named after. I don't know. Like, we're talking like hip heads to the nth degree. And we all know them.
Children, dogs,
yeah, animals. Right?
Yes.
And we all know these people.
Yep.
I like this one better. Nope. How did that happen? There we go.
Perfect.
That's what I was trying to do. Yeah, I'm excited about this. I don't know how it's going to go. Like, I'll be honest with you. We're always honest here on the jam. For sure. And yeah, I don't know how it'll go, but if it goes the way it could go, I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, I think that's part of the fun, is that we don't know how it's going to go. So you just have no sort of anything. Just leave it open and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
So voting is opening. It opened today, right?
That's right. Nominations open today. It goes right through to August 15th. So you can nominate yourself every single day if you wanted to. You can nominate, you know, your cool cousin or whatever. Nominate them. And at the end of August 15th, I don't want to make this super complicated and get into phase two, but basically the top five nominees, the top five vote getters or nominee getters will face off in the month of September. And they will be our five finalists that will find out who is the ultimate super fan the night of October 4th.
I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think so too.
When they do their, you know, the final, the top five, and they kind of battle it out. I think that's going to be fun.
Because at that point, if they want to, they could make a little promo video. They could do whatever. And I hope along the way I can highlight some people. I hope I can highlight, some nominees, right? Some nominees that come in. I just hope that I can, you know, oh, here's Sarah J from Buffalo, who is claiming to be the biggest hip fan or whatever. I wouldn't say that way because that sounds mean, but you know.
For sure. It'll be fun. You should put the link in the comments so people know where to go.
Beautiful. It's
easy to find.
Let me just get that. This is riveting.
It is so riveting. I love it, though.
As I search for a link.
Well, I can talk about what's going on in DATC Media while you are searching for a link.
Perfect.
So we're not just dead airing the shit out of everybody's time. Yeah, so this week we did the Rough Gauge featured artist for June was on my show, Dropped Among This Crowd. We're just getting ready to get into summer and festival season and all that good stuff. So to keep up with everything that I'm doing, you can just go to my website, datcmediacompany.com, and also my Patreon, which is where you can support me and all the things and all the content that I put out. So yeah, patreon.com/DATC Media Company. And part two of my conversation is coming this week. And I had an epic 2.5 hour conversation with Darren yesterday.
Darren who?
You know Darren. Everybody knows Darren.
I do, but maybe they don't.
Well, if you've ever enjoyed the Hip Archive, he is to thank for the organization of that, as he graciously reminds me and everyone in our conversation. Obviously, the tapers and the folks that send him the shows are really the ones who, you know, do all the work and everything. But he has organized and put that together pretty recently, too, when he told me the story of, you know, when he actually started working on that. It's only been like 6 months or something. It hasn't been really that long.
No, he got it. Yeah, he got rocking and rolling with that. That's for sure.
And the amount of shows that are up there in such a short amount of time just really says a lot about the community and their want to share these shows that they have and everything. So we talked about that, but of course we talked about a bajillion other topics because Darren is just such a music lover and just devours music. And I just had to ask him all the questions about his love for it and his history with it. And I mean, we seriously probably could have talked another 2.5 hours. Easily could have talked about so much more. So yeah, that whole epicness will be coming very, very soon to my show. So yeah, that's
That'll be fun to listen to.
Oh, I'm so, so excited. We got into it. I mean, if anybody's listened to, you know, the conversation I did with Kirk or any of the other chats I've had with folks on my show, we get into it and I love it. So yeah, it was a great, great time. So
yeah.
Yay. Excited for everybody to hear it.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, blow out the candles, because In Violet Light this week turned 23 years old. Holy shitballs. That is, that's a long time ago. So that would be the last tour that I saw them on before the fully completely reunion, or not reunion, the fully completely complete album tour in 2015. I saw that tour twice. But that means 23 years ago was the last time I saw them live before that. Gee whiz.
You just say that too, because I finished the Fully and Completely episode about In Violet Light, because you and I had talked about that. And so you recommended I listen to.
Oh, that's that. Fun.
I finished listening to that today, and it was such a great episode. I want to go back and listen to it again because it was a lengthy episode. And so I definitely want to go back and listen to it, just because no matter how intently you hear something, you're not listening the whole time.
No.
So I definitely want to go back and listen to it. But one of the things that really stuck out to me, first of all, was at the beginning when you first just started talking about the album as a whole and talking about the producer and everything, I knew that the guy that they brought in had worked with the Police. I mean, this was something that I already knew. So that had made sense to me why I liked the album, because the Police are, you know, in my probably top 10 favorite bands. And when you started reading all the other bands and artists that this guy had worked with and the albums that he worked on and the songs and everything, I'm like, this just all, it makes even more sense to me now. I'm like, okay, I get it. And just the way you guys were unpacking the songs and everything was just really on par to a lot of what I have felt about that album anyways, but then still do. So it will forever and always be my favorite and, you know, my number one song on there.
It's a fucking great record.
Even though everybody thinks that it's 118, but really, you know, I know the number one song.
So. All tore up, right? Is that what it is?
Yes. Yes. Anytime I can say it, I will say it, like, to the point where my kids are like rolling their eyes about it now. I'm like, listen, I will die on this hill, guys.
Jeez. Well, where were you 23 years ago?
23 years ago.
Sarah J's life 23 years ago.
I think 2002 that would have been. I was in 10th grade.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have. Yeah, I was definitely still in high school. Maybe 11th grade. This would have been the summer between 10th and 11th grade. So I was in high school is where I was.
Do you remember when it came out?
I vaguely remember because this is that time frame that a lot of their music was being played on 103.3 The Edge, which was okay. The alternative station here. They had actually done a show here for 103.3 The Edge, and it was the first time that they played these songs live. I wasn't there, but I remember this event. And then when I was listening to all the Buffalo shows, that was on there, and I was like, oh, I forgot about this. I have it. Let me see if I can find. I'm sure I have the notes like here on my desktop. Very close. I'm sure I do. But yeah, I do remember that because The Edge was the station that played all of their music and stuff. So I don't remember in the sense of like I went to the record store and, you know, bought it the night it came out and all of that. But I do remember the songs being played on the radio and when they did this event, which it was cool to go back and listen to it.
I bet.
Yeah.
Fuck, I hate not being on camera. I have new lighting and everything, dude.
I hate that it is not a thing. And it was working the other day, though, too. I'm looking for this show now because
it was working yesterday for me. So,
yeah, and it was working when we were.
Who can tell? Who can tell?
It's okay. Everybody just has to look at my face, I guess.
I'm telling you, Mojo Paw, I miss those 2000 era records, too. And going back and revisiting them, I really feel like I missed out. I feel like I missed out because while there is some great, great music in what I had already heard, it's a treasure trove. Those remaining four records are a treasure trove. And man, I'm so glad that they're slightly unfamiliar to me. So yeah, Africa though. Wow. Damn.
I want to thank you, Mojo Paw, for that 03 Gord show that I found on YouTube that I watched the other day. So thank you for that. We were talking about it too, Darren and I, yesterday. So that was the show I sent you that you need to watch or listen to that you didn't yet.
I haven't. No, I didn't. Today was the laziest day.
Good.
Yeah, I guess so. Right. I guess
it should be that way.
Fine. Yeah, it's fine.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Father's Day.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm not lazy any other day, so.
I'm still looking for this. You're not.
No, I'm a, I'm a go-getter, yeah. Listen, this week, Sarah went to see the Strictly Hip.
I did.
At an outdoor show in, here I'm going to say the greater Buffalo area, but what it was the exact city that it was in?
Okay, hold on. We have to come back to this because all right. Anybody wants to listen to this, I found it. It was in my notes. Of course it was. Okay. So June 13th, 2002 at Audio Music Studios here in Buffalo. And it was the first time that they played In Violet Light songs live.
Oh, right. Yes.
Pretty much the whole album. 1, 2, 3. Six,
and
seven,
is there
eight,
a DJ
five.
With them?
It's the whole album. Well, there was like a DJ who kind of like emceed the evening.
I think I've listened to this then.
Yeah, it's on the archive, and then the here's the set list for it. There's the set list for it.
Yeah, I think I may have listened to that.
It's fantastic. It's really fantastic. I really suggest that everybody should listen to that, because that's really great. And I had forgot about this little piece until we were just like talking about it. I was like, oh yeah. This is a fun little connection to Buffalo too. You know, I love it. So
yeah. Anytime you can dot those lines.
You know, I love it.
Yeah.
So yes, we went on Thursday night to see the Strictly Hip. It is like the suburbs of Buffalo, but it's technically like Kenmore, New York. If you're putting it into the, you know, the Google Maps, it was at this place called Mang Park. Yeah. M-A-N-G, which on a regular day is where the Kenmore pool is. You know, you get your card for the summer and you go to the pool and, you know, splash pads there and the playground and whatnot. And so they had like this little carnival thing set up, and then there was a stage kind of on the outskirts of it, and it was free. And it was a beautiful night. And my son usually plays D&D on Thursday nights, but this week he didn't. So I was like, let's take some food and go. And that's what we did. We set out our blanket and it was amazing. It was such a cool night. It was cool to see the audience too. I mean, this was my second Strictly Hip show. The first one was in Toronto, and I felt like that was, you know, we were all hanging out. And so it was just like our kind of meetup and our hangout and, you know, getting to go to the Horseshoe for the first time. And, but to see them here in Buffalo was very cool. And there's past episodes of this show where I've said things about tribute bands. I'm not totally on the bandwagon, but I mean, I get why people totally love it. And it was really special to see, especially the older fans, you know, still get to have that little nostalgic thing that they miss from going to see this band live. So, I mean, I get it. And they're just the nicest guys. They gave my son a set list at the end. We went and said thank you and hi. And they gave him picks. He was so excited about that, too. So, it's a good time.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's a good choice. So, and they're so good. Even my son was like, "Mom, he sounds so much like Gord."
Oh,
I know, he does a good job, doesn't he? And he was like, "He does."
Damn. And of course, you can catch the Strictly Hip on October 4th at a celebration of the hip for ALS. So.
They're very excited. That was my main reason why I wanted to go back. I mean, I had met Jeremy in Toronto, so I hadn't met the other guys in the band yet. So I wanted to introduce myself, but I wanted to also thank all of them personally for coming and playing the event in October, and how so very excited we are to have them be a part of this really special event. And they're just so jazzed and honored to be a part of it. They're just super excited. So it's going to be a really fun night.
Yeah, it's creeping up. Like it sounds ridiculous to say that being 4 months away, but man, I started working on this project in August of last year.
Yep.
So a lot of time has passed for me. Sitting on this, and for there to be only 4 months left is mind-boggling for me, because you know, I had so much fucking runway, and now, you know, I don't.
Well, and the summer always goes quick too. You think about it. I mean, it is, before you know it, it's going to be July, and then the summer just goes fast because everybody's so busy. So it'll be here soon. That's why people need to get their tickets and their hotel rooms. You should just, you know, stay the night and enjoy the evening. Just make it a whole thing.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea, actually, just from a... But if you do drink, there's lots of ways to commute as well. If you don't want to do a hotel room, there's lots of ways to do that. So we're going to get there soon enough. But right now, we are sitting around song number 18 this week, correct?
19.
I'm sorry. Yep. That's 18 is Claire from Ann Arbor. And that's going to be tomorrow that one drops. And she will be doing song number 18. So
I can't curious believe to find song out number 18. My goodness.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
That's what's going to make the time go by fast.
Yeah. I think
is this countdown is going to make the time between now and the event go fast. It's like, oh.
It does for me because I've got like certain tasks that I do, you know, they have a certain cadence. Like the flashback episode comes out on Wednesday and well, holy shit, the week's half done at that point. And then I do publish the Sunday evening jam to come out on Fridays, the previous Sunday. So then it's the weekend and then we're sitting here doing the jam again. And it's like, holy Jesus.
Yeah.
Unreal. Speaking of unreal, the episode this week was pretty unreal. I'm getting lots of feedback and it's all good feedback. I've yet to receive really, you know, bad feedback, which is just wonderful. People seem to really like this project and that means a lot. Jeff is one of them. We've hung out. We've had a great time. And to learn more about him was really rewarding for me. And you can't help but learn about somebody when you hear their history, because typically it involves seminal moments in their life and they have to describe those moments to give you context and people become very vulnerable and share, you know, quite intimate details at times. And, you know, Jeff sharing his cardiac arrest stories. Unbelievable.
For real.
So, yeah.
For real. He shared some of those stories when we were hanging out a couple months ago in Toronto. And even though I had known, like, you know, kind of the bones of the story in a way, you know, kind of like the outer context of it, to just hear him really go into the detail that he did was just like, holy shit, dude. Like, damn. Like, I don't know. I just love Jeff anyways. He's such an awesome soul. His just outlook on life, which, you know, once you learn about what he's been through, it's like, I get it. But it's also amazing because someone could have gone through what he went through and not have the outlook on life that he does. And so the fact that he chooses to is really inspiring too, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And his whole deep dive. I mean, anybody who knows me knows how I feel. And he joked about my notes and my everything. And he said that he should make me a crown with the sticky notes on it. And it was just a whole funny thing. So, you know, of course, I loved the whole just super deep dive that he went into the song of the week and just all of it was like, holy shit, like the most extensive but awesome English project ever.
Term paper.
Literally though, like he got into it, but it was amazing. And like, he wasn't wrong about any of it either. It was just like,
all you can't be. Made
total sense.
Yeah. You can't ever be wrong, but the trick is to put yourself out there. And a lot of people won't put themselves out there. They won't be vulnerable in that way. And Jeff really went with it. Like, you know, like to outline a theme like he did,
and to dig in the way he did, you know, showed great commitment to what we were doing and respect for the band and the lyricist, like, which we all know we have, but he showed that in a, you know, in a different way, I suppose.
Well, in his stories, like all the shows that he had seen and the stories that he was telling about that, like the sex doll story was so funny. And when he was talking about the Syracuse show, which of course, you know me, I'm going to go and download it and listen to it. Mm-hmm. And I did. And you can tell just from listening to it. I mean, when you just look at the set list of the evening, it's totally on par to what he said about his memories of the night and like the heat inside the room. And then when I'm listening to it, like even Gord made a comment about how hot it was inside of there. And, oh, Jeff, hi! Hi! So I listened to that show and he was so right about his memories of the evening. And, you know, there was the Albany show. They played Buffalo a couple of nights later. And you're like, oh, that whole run just had to be just fire. There's just no doubt. And it makes sense, too, in terms of time frame, because it was a month after their SNL performance. So you know that they were just jazzed from that and just bringing that energy into all of the shows that would come from that, for sure. I'm like, yeah. Well, this makes sense. You know, you're still riding that wave from SNL a month ago. So, of course. Yeah. So that's a great show, too, that everybody should listen to. So.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Feeling sluggish from all the extra food, drinks, and celebrations? Kick off the new year with a science-backed reset. Quiksilver Scientific's PushCatch Liver Detox is a patented, simple two-step system that supports your liver, gut, and whole body detoxification, helping clear out what's slowing you down so you feel energized for the year ahead. It's more than a cleanse. Quiksilver Scientific's PushCatch Liver Detox helps reset your system. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Definitely.
Well, I would like to do that. Yeah.
I have to.
I will. Oh, God, I just need to. I guess I'm just a corporate whore, because all I've been listening to is Sirius XM.
That's, well, listen, I mean, the shows on there are good. The stuff that they play on there is good. So, I mean,
I've never listened to so much Yardbirds and The Clash and, gosh, Zeppelin.
I was going to say, you keep bringing up that there's a lot of Zeppelin on that channel.
Yeah, yeah. And then Robbie's show, they play like fucking, he plays whatever the shit he wants. And it's great. It's just, and he has got opinions of the yin yang. And then usually he has a guest. Like today he had Craig Northey. I've heard Paul on the show. I've heard Johnny on the show. And I've heard Gord on the show. So Gord Sinclair on the show. So fucking cool, man. It's great, but it means I'm in trouble.
Did JD forget
to
pay the utility bill? Yes, JD forgot to pay the utility bill. That's exactly what the issue is. For sure. Okay, if anybody wants that date for the Syracuse show, it's April 27th, 1995.
Wow, it's like a month after. Like
yeah, their SNL after. Performance was March 25th. So yeah. Yeah. Yep. And even Holy the Buffalo Jesus. Show a few nights later on April 29th, like also is, I think maybe the Albany show is the only one that there might not be a recording for, but like that whole run is really good. I think Jeff said they were in Vermont too, if I remember. But that whole little like Northeast run through is just, it's really good.
Well, that's an area they were very familiar with as well, right? That Northeast. Quadrant, for sure, you know,
for sure, and because it's just really easy. I mean, when you look at a map in terms of, you know, you can make a really nice circle and, you know, get some really solid places in New York, you know, like they Albany and Rochester and Syracuse and Buffalo, and then you can just, you know, come from this way and make a nice little circle. So I mean, it makes sense, you know, when you look at a map of where these shows were. It just, it makes sense for sure. For sure. Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to re-listen to it again. Okay. Oh, that's fantastic. That's what I've really loved about these old shows too, is like hearing the crowd in just such new ways. It's so funny. I love it so much. I love it.
Yeah.
It's a good time. Another thing. We're talking about Darren in the archive. Thank you. And that show is actually on there because Jeff submitted it. So see?
Oh, wow.
Yep. It's full funny because when you download that Syracuse show, it actually says Jeff's name like on the file. It's funny.
Jeff was here.
Yeah. It's this little stamp. So, and I will say too, it's again, the perfect song. Like every week, it's been so perfect how the song has been in alignment with the guest.
Like, oh, that's interesting.
It's been so perfect how it's always seemed to be the perfect song. And like I can speak for my episode when it comes out, it was the same thing for me, you know, like it was actually like the perfect song for me to talk about. So that has been a really fun little thing for me personally, like a little treasure thing that I like to unpack every week, is like, this is the perfect song for this person.
Oh,
it's really cool means how it works out.
Yeah, I tried my best to offer people songs that they enjoyed, because I did a list similar to this last year for a band called Pavement. I did the top 50 for Pavement. And I did a lot of things very different. I didn't give people the questions I was going to ask them. I didn't give them... I did give them where the song landed, I think. Yeah, it was just very different. So this time I definitely didn't want anyone to know where the song landed. I definitely didn't want that to filter, you know, into their opinion of the song. If sure. they know that this song is number 10, they're going to talk very highly of it.
Right.
Whereas I want somebody to talk very highly of song number 40 as well, because they really fucking believe in song number 40 and they like it. And Yannick did a great job on song 40. So, yeah. You know, as has everybody, but just trying to impress you with my name recognition. And I'm moving my arms right now, but you can't see them. And David is sending me text messages privately saying, turn on the goddamn lights. He spent an hour setting up.
No one could see all your hard work.
Yeah.
Fuck. Jeez.
Oh, man. I don't know what it is.
It's all right. It's okay.
Well, what do you say we shift gears here and talk about, I mean, this is a touchy subject. My father's passed away. I know that Sarah's has passed as well. And so Father's Day takes on, you know, a different meaning. A nostalgic feeling. And that colors it to a certain degree. Not negatively, but it does color it. And I had a difficult time with this one. You know, I thought of it. Oh, ha, ha, ha. I got the perfect subject for this week. And then, boy, oh, boy. I really, really struggled. Where I landed ultimately was the song El Dorado. And the reason I chose El Dorado was because when I turned 16, my father bought... Oh, you can't see me, but I'm making air quotes. My father bought a winter beater car, but really it was a car for me. It was like I got the second set of keys. He was only going to be driving it 2 days a week, like to work, and that would be the maximum he would drive it. Usually one day, some days two. So I would get to drive it all the rest of the time, but I didn't get my license until I turned 19. And my father and I just were very different, and he didn't understand me, and I didn't understand him. And, it was sometimes difficult. And this song reminds me of that car, because that car was an El Camino, and it has the same rhythmic cadence, El Camino, El Dorado. And so my friends would always sing El Camino, because it was a big hoot that I had this car that I couldn't even drive. But then when I did start driving it, man, did I drive the fuck out of that thing. Woo!
I love it.
Yeah, so El Dorado is what I came up with.
I love it.
How about you?
You know, it's interesting because my conversation with Darren yesterday, I'm trying to remember how we got to where we got to. I think it's when I had asked him what shows that he had regretted not seeing. So we were talking about, you know, concerts that we had missed and not followed through with going to see. And now in hindsight, we regret it. And he turned the tables on me and asked me some questions. And we'll see if I leave the long explanation that I gave to him. But really, if anybody knows me, they know that my dad was a big piece of my love for music, my musical knowledge. He used to make me mixtapes when he was overseas, and he would ask questions between the songs. And then there would be like this point system. And so when he would come home from, you know, his months long tour of overseas, we would do something that would be, you know, the prize from what I won doing these mixtapes. So that was why I still have all this random amazing knowledge about all this music that he loved. And after he passed away, it was very interesting to me how my relationship with music really changed. And I think, and I know that up until very recently, in the past few years of my life, I've realized how true that actually was. So it's been very interesting, especially the last couple of months. You know, you and I have talked about some things offline, about how, you know, all of the stuff with Gord, really triggers a lot of everything that happened with my dad. And, you know, so Darren and I like went down that deep dive. And so we'll see if I actually put that out to the masses. Maybe I will. Maybe it'll be healing for me. So I don't know. I kind of had a hard time really narrowing in on a song, because there will be moments, especially now, you know, diving into things in a different way, where they'll feel like something that my dad would have said in the moment. And it'll feel like a nice little cosmic sort of thing in a way that still kind of get advice from dad in a weird way. And not even just with, you know, the hips music, but with all music, because it was such a big piece of how him and I communicated. Especially, I mean, it was the 90s, so it's not like you could FaceTime or, you know, we could text each other or even email, you know, like it was letters and mixtapes that I was getting. So that was how we really communicated. And so I just think that he would be really happy that I've decided to just fully go back into all the music things and just really allow myself to feel all the feels from when him and I listened to everything. So yeah, that's my that's my emotional spiel live on YouTube for everybody. So there you go.
We just both bared our souls.
And I didn't cry. I'm so proud of myself. Yeah, I even said, nice. I was like, tune in and see how long until I cry. I did not. So
you I'm did good. Well.
I'm good.
You did very well.
But no, I think that it's just a really special thing to really dive back into all of the music and just really, you know, appreciating where I came from and things like that too. And you kind of get to that that point in your life, you know, to you start to evaluate some different things. Literally though, a mixtape is, it's like the greatest form. Seriously, it really, really is. I have just such vivid memories. And if you think about it, I was like 10. So this would have been like 93, 94. And so he was making these tapes. He was in Saudi Arabia and he was making these tapes, but I mean, you'd have to, you know, have the two things and do the tape, and then he'd have his microphone and he would, you know, say whatever. I mean, I won a big prize. We went out and had this whole day because I knew that Sting was the backing vocals on Money for Nothing by Dire Straits. And I was like the only 8-year-old that knew this. And it was because of my dad.
Oh, man.
So at a very young age, he was already, you know, teaching me things. So I think that he would think it's pretty awesome, everything that I'm doing now. So,
well, we all think it's pretty awesome. So there's that.
Okay. So now you are going to make me cry. Stop it.
Well, before you get out the tissues and start to weep, maybe we should bid everyone adieu and wrap things up for this week. I don't have a theme for next week. If you've got an idea, send me an email, tthtop40@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. And we'll see you next week for sure. Sarah, anything you want to wrap with?
I don't think so. This was fun. I love hanging out with you guys on Sunday night. It was so great. And happy Father's Day to everybody. Happy Father's Day to you, Jeff.
Yeah.
I hope you had an awesome day. No, I knew you would be here. I knew you would be here. No worries.
All right. Pick up your shit and all that good stuff.